Good morning. Hope everybody had a good week. We had a tough week. Brian lost his mama. Eric lost his daddy. Nancy lost her hubby. Angie Bush lost her fiance. We had a tough week. We lost a dear friend. We had a lot of health problems, too. We've got the Edwards visiting with us today. They have a friend, Lois Warnock, who's on a ventilator up in Columbus at Doane Hall and just needs our prayers. Let's pray as we get started this morning. Dear Father in heaven, may we never doubt your love. May we know that whatever we face, you weep with us and you sustain us and give us the strength not just to endure but to grow stronger because of what we have endured. Father, bless this body of believers with the strength to stay close to you, to let you change our hearts and make us more like your Son. Father, we thank you for the blessings that we have enjoyed with our loved ones who have passed. We pray for the strength we need this day, for the step we're on. Help us to glorify you with what we have. Father, Lois Warnock and others that just need your care for their health, bless them, Father. If their recovery instant that amazes doctors is your will, we pray that will be accomplished. Father, we trust your sovereign will and your amazing love. Be with us this day, Father, as we now allow your word to study our hearts. May it change us and make us more like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Our lesson this morning is in Mark 7. In Mark 1, Jesus heals a leper. Leper comes to Jesus. Jesus heals him. When he gets done healing him, he says, "Don't tell anybody." Well, the guy goes into town. How do you not tell somebody? You know, the guy had leprosy, couldn't touch anybody. Now he can touch people. So, he says, "Well, don't tell anybody, but I'll tell you. Don't tell you what else." And the news spread so much, it says Jesus couldn't even go into town. He's so popular. Well, Jesus, one of his main jobs is to train 12 men. Because when he leaves, it's the ball's in their court. They're the ones that have to get it done. And so he wants to take off with his disciples and get out of town, get out of Dodge, okay, and go up. So he goes to the region of Tyre. Now, Tyre's a very Greek, Hellenized, Phoenician city. And the Phoenicians, by the way, had the most amazing navy in all of antiquity. There are stones off the coast of Brazil and off the coast of Massachusetts that have Phoenician writings on them that are probably about 1,000 B.C., about the times of King David or King Solomon. And so they had an amazing, they ruled the Mediterranean. He's up in Tyre in a very Greek Hellenized city, prosperous international city. And let's read our text. If you want to join with us, we're in Mark 7. We're going to start off just reading the first, get this thing on in the right way. Yeah, we're just going to start reading 24 and 25. He says, now, Jesus left that place, and he went to the vicinity of Tyre, and he entered a house and didn't want anyone to know it, yet he couldn't keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. Okay? Jesus is trying to be alone with his disciples because he needs to train them. You need to be trained by Jesus? I need to be trained by Jesus. He needs to train these men. And so he's gotten away from the crowds. He doesn't want anybody to know where he is because he needs that time with the disciples. But this woman, from Nazareth? Oh, he's the one that healed. And the news spreads and she finds out and she goes to the place where Jesus is and falls at his feet. She gets down on her knees in front of Jesus. Now, why would you keep searching for somebody who didn't want to be found? You know, they don't want to be found. Well, you keep searching for them. Why? Because you need them to bless you. And you, and that's what the situation is here. She needs Jesus to bless her daughter. She absolutely loves her daughter, and she wants Jesus to heal her. And she has faith in Jesus that he can do it. She's not looking for somebody else. She's looking for Jesus, because nobody else can cast demons out. So she goes to find him because she knows that he can bless her little girl. Now, what motivates you to want to keep searching for Jesus? You know, the first time she looked for him, he probably wasn't there because he didn't want to be found. She looked somewhere else. Eventually she finds him. This is an ongoing search. We need to keep on seeking. Okay? If we keep on seeking, we keep on finding. If we don't keep on seeking, we don't keep on finding. Oh, I already got all the answers. No, you know, I've been preaching 40 years. I've been reading through the Bible every year, and I still don't have all the answers. There's a whole bunch of things I don't know. In fact, the thing is, what you find out when you keep studying the Bible, you find out there's way more things you don't know. Okay? You know, when I graduated, I was 22, back 40-some years ago, started preaching. I had all the answers. Just graduated. Now I don't even know what the questions are. Okay? It takes a while. But she keeps on seeking because she wants to find Jesus. What motivates you to keep on seeking? Well, I haven't been seeking much. My Bible's getting dusty. Then you're not seeking. Let's see if we can find something that will motivate you to seek. You notice for most of the last 4 or 5 weeks, I've been talking about a misplaced priority in 1 Peter 3:15, where it says, be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason of the hope that's within you, with gentleness and with fear. Because if I'm just trying to give an answer and they're not asking me about my hope, they don't care. I need to live a life that they want to ask me about my hope. And if I live a life that they want to ask me about my hope, then I've got an open door for the gospel. So if we're not living that life, the gospel doesn't get spread. But if we're living that life, then the gospel gets spread. But for that to happen, I need to be deeply motivated. And so that's why we're talking about this woman is deeply motivated, and there are things that we can learn from her motivation that will help us. Okay? So let's continue. Verse 26. A highly motivated Gentile, not Jew, a Gentile asks a Jew for an impossible favor. Look at her request in verse 26. He says, the woman was a Greek born in Syria, Phoenicia, and she begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. Historically, we do not know of demon possession happening before or after the first century. From the time Jesus comes until the last apostle dies, we have no record of miraculous demon possession, because there was nobody but Jesus and the apostles that ever could cast out demons. And God played fair when he allowed Jesus and the disciples to have miraculous signs. He allowed Satan to do some things that he didn't allow Satan to do before or after that time. But anyway, she says, I want you to cast a demon out of my daughter. Well, nobody can cast out demons, but Jesus has been doing that. He's cast out demons of so many. In fact, legion, he cast out a legion of demons out of one guy in Mark chapter 5. And so the word has gotten around, and she wants him to do this for her girl. Now, what motivated this mother to ask for something so impossible? It's not possible. Yeah, but he did it. It's not possible for Jesus to save you from sin, but he did it. It's not possible for him to take on the burden of everyone's sins, but he did it. It's not possible for him to be raised from the dead, but he did it. Okay, Jesus can do the impossible, and she has faith that he can do the impossible, and she loves her girl. What does she want most? She wants her girl to be blessed. What do you want most? You want your kids and your grandkids to go to heaven. Everything else is fluff. Okay, that's what you want most. That's what she wants most. So, what motivated her is her love for her daughter and her faith in Christ. Now, what motivates you to ask Jesus for seemingly impossible things? Back in the Old Testament, in 2 Kings 3, Ahab, he asks for help, and the prophet says, oh, you've just asked for a minor thing. a little thing. Now, earlier in chapter 2, Elisha prayed for a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. And he says, you've asked for a hard thing. Okay? This is a hard thing that she's asking for. She says, I want you to, you know, cast a demon out of my daughter. Anybody here cast out any demons? Yeah, I can't. It's out of my league. But God can do that, and he did that. And so she asked for the impossible. What motivates you to ask Jesus for impossible things? I got loved ones that aren't walking close to God. God, get their attention. Well, yeah, I don't want my kids to have to suffer, but I want them to be close to you, God. If they have to suffer to be close to you, God, I want to be close to you. I want that first. You ask God for tough things because they're important things. You want your children being with God. You want all your loved ones to be with God. And so you ask for impossible things because God specializes in impossible things. Remember in Mark chapter 10 when he talks about, he talks to the rich young ruler and he says, I've done all these things my youth up, and he felt a love for him. He said, go and sell all you have and give the poor, you know, and then come and follow me. And the guy went away sorrowful. Well, then afterwards, Jesus has this discussion with the disciples and he says, you know, how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, that's an idiom because the word camel and the word rope are the same word in the Aramaic. And so it's used interchangeably. And so a rope, you can't put a rope through a needle. I have a hard time putting a thread through a needle. You know, I need to hold it farther and farther away to see that thing through there, right? Well, can you imagine trying to put a rope through a needle? Can't put a rope through a needle. Well, somebody said camel one time and it stuck. And so they made an idiom out of that. That was a saying, you can't put a camel through the eye of a needle. But then he goes on and says, with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. See, the disciples will thought, wait a minute, I thought Abraham and Solomon and David and all these rich people, I thought they were, God wanted rich people to go to heaven. And he says, well, yeah, but it's tough for rich people to enter heaven. He says, but it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. God can do impossible things. And that's why we ask God to do impossible things. You have loved ones that are sick. You pray for God to get, you got loved ones on a ventilator. You pray for God to take care. You got loved ones with cancer. You pray for God to take care. Whatever it is. You know, are we still praying for Wally? Yeah, we still praying for little Elijah. Yeah, why? Because we believe God can do impossible things. Now, let's go on. A highly motivated Gentile woman refuses to be dismissed. Look at verse 27. In verse 27, Jesus says, first, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Did he call her a dog? No, he didn't call her a dog. This is another idiom. This is a saying. If you tell somebody to go fly a kite, you don't want them to get string and paper and, you know, if somebody, you're pulling my leg. No, you're not really pulling my leg. We understand those are idioms. This is an idiom. Okay? And when he says you're not supposed to take the children's bread and give it to dogs, why? Because he says, I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus' mission is to go to the Jews. He's supposed to teach them, and then they are supposed to go and teach the Gentiles. It doesn't mean God loves the Jews more. It means that God's battle plan is to equip a group of people who already know that sin is breaking God's law. They already know that a sacrifice has to be made for sin. All they need to know is that the Messiah who was going to come, came, and he died for their sins, and now they need to share his message with the world. And so God's got a group of soul winners ready to go. So he teaches the Jews first. So Jesus' mission is to the Jews. So he tells her, he says, hey, I'm not supposed to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. That's an idiom. He's not calling her a dog. He's saying, I have a responsibility to the Jews, and I'm not supposed to take away from that to help out the Gentiles. Now, why didn't the words and the specific call of Jesus dismiss this woman? I mean, his specific call is to the Jews. Is she Jewish? No, she's a Syrophoenician, Syrian and Phoenician. so she doesn't qualify. He's supposed to help out the Jews. She's not a Jew. But she doesn't, why? She does not allow herself to be dismissed because she has a little girl that's important to her, and she will do whatever it takes to bless that girl, right? You're a parent. Would you do anything to bless your kids? Okay. Are you a mama bear? You know, you don't hurt my kid. Okay. You want to be a mama bear. You want to, and this woman is going to do whatever it takes to bless her child. Now, what words or actions have we allowed to dismiss us from Christ? Well, Christ hadn't said anything to dismiss us. No, he hasn't. But sometimes we let the words of people around us dismiss us from Christ. Truth? Well, you know what she said about me. I'm not going to ever go back to church in my life. I'm going to get mad at God because of what she said, because of what he said, because of what she did. Because have we ever let that happen in our lives? Yeah, we have. We got upset because of what somebody said, and we decided to take it out on God. Don't you think other people that are here ever had anything bad said about them? Yeah. Do you take it out on God? Do you let those words dismiss you from Christ? No. I want to be close to Christ because I can't bless my kids if I'm not close to Christ. You know, because if I say, do as I say and not as I do, that doesn't work, does it? Never has worked. And so I can't let that drive me from Christ. This woman doesn't let the words of Jesus drive her from, because that's not his intention. He wants to bless her, and we're going to find that out as the story progresses. Now, what would be a better response than giving up? A better response than giving up is her response. Let's see. Verse 28. We're still in Mark 7. She said, yes, Lord, she replied. But even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. So his idiom is you're not supposed to take what's the children's bread and give it to the dogs. And he's not really calling her dog. He's just saying, I have a priority here and I'm not supposed to take away from my priority to take care of this other need. And she said, so she uses his idiom. She uses his symbol and says, hey, I'm just asking for crumbs. God, you have so much power, Jesus, that I only need crumbs. I know your mission is to the Jews, but this is, you helping me out isn't going to hurt your mission to the Jews. You have so much power that I know you can take care of me. And Jesus compliments her faith. He's amazed by her faith because she knows how much power he has. And he's going to honor her faith as we continue in the story. But here's a highly motivated Gentile woman. She's exhibiting great faith because she says, Jesus, you don't have to, you know, do all these incantations. Do you remember a story in Acts 19? In Acts 19, Paul is casting out demons because Jesus has given Paul, the apostle, as he did the other apostles, the ability to cast out demons. And so he's in town in Ephesus, and he's casting out demons. Well, these seven locals, they're seven sons of Sceva, and they're watching everything Paul does. And they keep watching him because they want to be exorcists. They want to cast out demons because, hey, maybe they can make money doing this or something. So for whatever reason, they're watching Paul, and eventually they think, yeah, we can do this. So they find a guy who has a demon in him. And these seven guys say, we, in Acts 19, we adjure you by Jesus Christ whom Paul preaches to come out. And the guy looks at him and says, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? And he jumps on and beats the tar out of all seven of them. They flee away naked and bruised. Okay? Just beats tar out of them. So is being an exorcist a tough job? Yeah. Can anybody do it? No, just Jesus and the apostles that he gave that power to. And so, anyway, she says, this is a really tough job, but you got so much power, I just need crumbs. Does she have faith? Does she have great faith? Okay. You have some sins in your life. You got some bad ones in your life. You got something been going on a while? How many of them are so bad that the blood of Jesus can't cover them? Are your sins so tough that the blood of Jesus can't handle them? Saul of Tarsus is killing Christians. Anybody killed any Christians this week? Okay, God forgave him, right? Is the blood of Christ able to do with crumbs what is so amazing that no one else can do it? Yes. Okay, now, what was it about her response that exhibited such great faith? She knew that Jesus could bless her without taking away anything from the Jews. She knew he had so much power that he wouldn't have to break stride to help her out. Do you believe Jesus can forgive you? Oh, Jack, but you don't know what I did. You don't know how bad it was what I did. I know, but it wasn't as bad as what Paul did. Right? It's a faithful saying worthy of all exceptions. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Right? 1 Timothy 1:15. And so there's nothing else as bad as that. And so if he can forgive him, he can forgive you. Right? Now, how are we going to respond in faith when words or actions seek to dismiss us? Now, Jesus isn't going to try to dismiss you. He doesn't really try to dismiss her, but it can be taken as that. And sometimes things that are not intended to dismiss us, we let them dismiss us. We get mad at God. We're kind of like Antiochus 4, Epiphanes in the Old Testament. Well, yeah, he's in the Old Testament. He's in Daniel 11. But he's the one that started the Maccabean revolt after the Old Testament. And he had gone down to try to attack Egypt. And a Roman emissary named Popilius Linus says, hey, that's the breadbasket of Rome. You better think about that. And he says, I'll think about it. And he took a staff and wrote a circle in the ground, in the sand around him, and says, you better think about it before you step out of that circle. And he walked away. Well, the guy knew he couldn't take on Rome, and so he went away mad. So he takes his army with him back home, and on the way back home, he comes through Jerusalem. You ever get mad at the dog and kick the cat? Well, that's what he did. He got mad at, you know, what he couldn't do in Egypt, and he decided to take it out on Jerusalem. He had a sow boiled on the altar and start slopping fat around the temple, and Mattathias of Modin and his five boys, Judas Maccabeus, the Maccabean revolt, they started an insurrection and chased him out, and he barely got away with his life. Now, he got mad at the dog and kicked the cat. You ever get mad at somebody who said words and take it out on Jesus and in the same time take it out on your kids? Because when I respond to you in anger and my kids see me respond to you in anger, it hurts my kids. When I go home and for Sunday dinner we have roast elder, or you sit down at dinner and you have roast preacher, okay, or whatever it is, roast brother or sister in Christ, your kids hear that. And don't allow words to dismiss you from Christ. I will not let anyone get between me and Jesus. And she doesn't either. She says, hey, I just need crumbs. Now, what happens? A highly motivated seeker was blessed by an amazing Savior. Watch what happens. It says, then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. And she went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. It's just amazing that you can't cast out a demon, but it happened. And I just went over here away from my daughter and I went to Jesus and Jesus just said it. And when he said it, when I got back to my daughter, she was fine. Wow. Okay. Did God bless her for her faith? Yes. Now, what amazing victories do we seek from this wonderful Savior? Yeah, I want my kids to be healed when they're sick. But I really want them to be healed when they're spiritually sick. Don't you? Yeah. When they get turned a certain way and there's things in their lives that are leading them away from Christ, I want God to fix that. I want God to put people in their lives. When my kids got to be teenagers, when your kids get to be teenagers, you know, the preacher wrote a book on how to raise kids, and then he had kids, so he wrote a book on suggestions for raising kids. And then they became teenagers, he just wrote a book on prayer, okay, which is where he should have started, okay? Well, in that situation, you know, when your kids are having a hard time, what do? My kids got to a certain age, and I didn't know anything. Oh, by the way, eventually, when they had kids and bought houses, they found out that I wasn't as dumb as I used to be. But I learned something in there. But when they got to be a certain age, I couldn't talk to them. They didn't want to hear anything I had to say. So I'd go over to the guys that they admired, and there were people they admired at church and elsewhere. And I'd say, hey, Mike, I need you to talk to my kids because they don't want to hear anything from me, and he needs to hear it from somebody. And so whatever it took to get them close to God, was I willing to do it? Whatever it takes for her to get her little girl blessed, does she do it? Whatever it takes to get your children and your grandchildren close to Jesus, will you do it? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about deeply motivated. Now, how deeply motivated are you? Well, I'll be there Sunday if it's not raining. It was raining this morning, so some of our attendance is down. Do you let rain keep you from communing with God? Okay, well, I got a cold. I don't think I can make it. Are you going to go to work Monday? Well, yeah, I got to go to work. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not second, not third, first. How deeply motivated are you? Is your Bible dusty? How deeply motivated are you? Do you have any dust from your rug on your knees where you pray? How deeply motivated are you? The call to action is to be so deeply motivated by Jesus that we'll always be seeking him. Always be seeking him. Now, what's keeping you from earnestly seeking Jesus? Well, I would do my Bible reading, but I'm like 3 weeks behind on my shows, and I can only TiVo so much. Seek ye first. What's keeping you from earnestly seeking Jesus? Earnestly. Earnestly seek Jesus. What important favors do you want Jesus to do? I want him to lead the rest of my grandchildren to faith in Christ. I've got three of them born in Christ, and I got seven more to go. Okay, and the three that are in Christ, I want them to stay closer to Christ and be more and more amazed by him. What do you have? What favors do you want from him? Ask him. Be devoted in asking him. Now, what words or actions have you allowed to dismiss you? This woman was not going to be dismissed. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm not going to let a hypocrite get between me and God, because if I do, then he's closer to God than I am. So I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to let somebody use bad words and keep me away from Christ. Well, yeah, but you know what he said about my mama. I don't care what he said about your mama. I care about what you do for Jesus. Truth? Seek ye first. So, what reasons in your life deeply motivate your faith? Did you have examples of faith in grandparents? In Bible teachers? Did you have bonding relationships with close friends who allowed the nature of Christ and his friendship building to become something in your life to motivate you to have that same thing? What are your reasons to have faith? I got other reasons to have faith just besides that. I've got faith because I have to have faith Because if I don't, my kids aren't going to have faith. I can't give up. I can't go off and do. There's a lot of temptations that you think, wait a minute. If I yield to that temptation, how many people that I taught Jesus to are going to just say, well, fooey, if it doesn't mean anything to Jack, I'm not going to follow Christ. Okay, the people you around you, the motivation for us to stay close to Christ is so we can lead others with us, to follow him along with us. So what reasons in your life motivate you deeply? Deeply motivate you in your faith. Let them continue. Strengthen them. Strengthen them. So, how can we help you today? Most of you have already died yourself. You've already been baptized into Christ. He's already washed away your sins. He's already given you his gift of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we let stuff happen. Sometimes it was just so bad, I just gave up and quit. I thought God didn't love me, didn't care about me anymore. Does God ever quit loving you? If you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, do you ever quit loving your kids? Do you ever quit loving your grandkids? No. Did they do things that disappoint you? Yeah, but you ever quit loving them? No. Guess what? God loves better than you do. He doesn't ever give up on you. He didn't ever give up on you. How deeply motivated are you to want to be with him? How deeply motivated are you to want to lead others, those you care about, to be with him? See, all that stuff we've talked about, living a life so that others ask you about your hope, are you deeply motivated enough to do that? Maybe in my spare time. No, seek ye first. Make every effort. The next time you're reading through your New Testament, all those times it says make every effort, 2 Peter 1 and other, you just write down, make every effort, make every effort. Are we making every effort? If we can help you be deeply motivated so that you can make every effort, if we can pray with you, whatever your need might be, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.